Now, I set margins on my Word documents, my iPad. As you can see, I have big margins, right? Depending on which side I go. If I go there, it's not as big. But margins, I create them on my Word documents. I create them on the computer, on brochures, whatever. Whatever I need, the margin, I do that. I create the margin. Now, here's the thing. Different margins are required for various things, right? How many receptionists or admin people do we have out here that you're constantly doing documents? We got any? How many do brochures or anything like that? Anybody do anything like that? To do a brochure, you have to have a different margin than you would a letter, right? There's margins for various things, and it's just required in that aspect. Okay, each situation and season of our life might need different margins. What happens when I build in a little margin in my life? What happens? Again, like I said, I have created space between my load and my limit, right? We're not going full tilt 24/7, 365. You create a space between your load and your limits. Now, let me share with you some of the benefits of having margin in our lives. Number one is this: peace of mind. I'm not hurrying and worrying all the time. There's a peace of mind that happens, and it's a major benefit to having margin. I have time to stop and think and relax and enjoy and make better choices and better decisions. How many of us, and I'm not going to make you show your hands, but how many of us, if you would take some margin just in your eating habits, would eat healthier, right? I remember 20 years of youth ministry, it felt like I was full tilt all the time, and the fastest thing was to go through a McDonald's or a Burger King or something like that and just throw food down my throat and just keep on going. And it's like there was no margin. It was just constantly going. And on trips, we do that because we got to get there to that spot, right, men? We're going from here to wherever it is, and we've got this amount of time, and we're not stopping. And you even got a porta potty in the back of your van, so we don't have to stop to go potty. We got to get there, right? We create margin to have time to think and to relax and to enjoy. Number two is this: better health. Don't wait for tragedy to create margin in your life. Heart symptoms or whatever it is. Don't wait for your body to create margin for you. Our bodies need downtime to heal, right? How many of you have ever had some kind of medical procedure or surgery? Show hands. Okay, let me ask you this question. What does the doctor instruct you to do when you go home? Say that again. Rest. Turn to your neighbor and say, rest. Rest. We need rest to heal, right? Need rest to heal. They say rest. Here's a crazy thing. I thought about this week and again, and I've used it before, but even NASCAR racers have to take a pit stop to replace tires or to fix things, right? To get things fixed. They can't change a tire going 200 miles an hour on a left-hand turn all the time, because that's all they know how to do, are left-hand turns. Does that make sense? But here's the crazy thing. I think how often we try to repair things in our life while still racing through life. It's not possible. We need margin. We need to rest. We need to take time down, right? Number three, stronger relationships. Many of us value family. Am I right? We value family. We value our values and actions, but our values and our actions must align. They must match, right? Relationships take time. Margin provides the time to sit and to talk and to listen and comfort somebody and play with your kids and listen to all of their adventures and all the things. I'm preaching to the preacher right now. It takes time to build relationship with family and with friends. It's quantity of time versus quality. That's how we try to balance it. But can I just go on the record to say it takes both? It does. It takes quality and quantity to build quality relationship, right? Number four, it makes us available to be used by God. It makes us available to be used by God. When we're overloaded, we only think of ourselves. It's amazing how small our world really gets when we're overloaded and running with no margin. Would you agree? I see a lot of heads doing this. There's no room for anything else. We just get totally self-absorbed, and it's all we think about. But what happens when God taps us on the shoulder and asks us to do something? Maybe it's to go and visit with that person, or maybe it's going to mow that person's yard, or whatever it is. What's our first instinct when we feel God nudging us to do something? Our first response isn't joy, is it? It's like, oh gosh, I got another thing. Where am I going to do this, God? I don't have time to do this, right? Or is that just me? No, I can tell. It's not just me. I'm not just preaching to the preacher today. It's one other thing. But it should be one of joy. When God says, hey, would you do this? We're like, yes, I'm excited to do that. But it only happens when we create margin in our life so we can slow down enough to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So how do we build margin into our lives then, Pastor, Mr. Brainiac? How do we do it? Teach me. Well, I'm still learning myself, like I said. But here's number one. Accept our human limitations. Accept our human limitations. Do you know that you have limits, physical limits? You do. Gone are the days of my thinking of when I was 20 years old and 10 foot tall and bulletproof and could go 100 miles an hour and not ever get tired or sick or anything. Even when I thought I didn't have limits, I had limits. We have to accept our limitations. I have limits. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have limits. That's the first step, is admitting it. Okay, Bible Head Challenge, you ready? Here we go. If you've already won, you can't win again. First boy, first girl. Ready, ready, ready. Psalms 119:96. Got one right there. Got the first boy. Here you go, coming in. Well, later. Oh, got one back here. Can you catch? It's coming in hot. Boom, right there. Smacked her in the forehead. Ryan, get down, buddy. Oh, you sneaky little booger. He had to come trade. Psalm 119:96 says, to all perfection, I see a limit. We constantly overestimate our abilities and underestimate the problems and underestimate how much time it will take. Would you agree? Yeah. Maybe it's just me. Humans have limitations. We have physical limitations. You could not swim to Hawaii from LA. Newsflash. You cannot do it, right? You can't. No matter how much positive reinforcement and how much anticipation and how much training, you will not be able to physically swim to Hawaii. And somebody's going to try it now because I stuck that up. Right? Just like you cannot go 6 months without food. I could probably go a couple. But you can't go that long without food, no matter how much you talk yourself into it. You cannot go that long. What about this verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Pastor. Well, what about that verse? Don't take that verse out of context. Can you fly without an airplane or a hang glider or something else with wings? Can you fly? But I can do all things. Nope. That dog don't hunt, right? Don't use that verse to think I can keep on taking more and more stress and more problems and more debt and more difficulties in my life, because I can handle it all and I will never collapse because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody comes and tells me that, I'm going to actually probably laugh in your face, because that's taking that verse way out of context. We cannot take God's word out of context. That is a misuse of that verse. You have physical limitations. That's how God created you. There's also emotional limits. This one's a little bit harder for us to judge in our own lives. We know our physical limits. You know how far you can run before you collapse. From here to the kitchen. Just kidding. I'd make it to the alley. You know how fast you can run the mile, but most of us don't know our emotional limits. Maybe you've never taken the time to examine your emotional health. Maybe you should. We have mental limits, mental overload, continuing to think about work and more information, and we have this thing called the interwebs. The internet, there's more information than you can ever even Google in your lifetime. More information, and now you can't shut your brain off to go to sleep. Watching TV or playing video games, you have not given yourself a break mentally to allow a margin in your thoughts and your brain to relax and get the sleep that you need. There's mental limitations. The thing that I have been finding myself doing in my 30-minute drive home especially is just listening to worship music. Just listening and soaking it in. Giving my brain a chance to shut down from the day. You guys know how it is. You guys, it's crazy. It took me, I was gone 9 weeks on my refresh. And it took me 6 of them to stop thinking about you all. To stop thinking about the church. And I have an amazing wife that kept saying, "Knock it off, Ginther. Stop critiquing this church. Stop doing this, stop doing that." Because my brain wouldn't shut off. How can we do this better? Man, we could do announcements. I like how that church did announcements. We could probably do that. And just going on and on and on. And she's like, "Stop!" I'm surprised that I'm still happily married because I was driving her absolutely nuts. Yeah, it's the truth. We tend to try to occupy our minds all the time, and you can never... You'll never go any, you just won't ever gain any ground by just letting your mind run. You have to create margin. You have to do it. And I think sometimes the reason that we are always occupying our minds is maybe we're just afraid to be alone in our own thoughts. Slow down enough to really think about where you are in life and where you are in your relationships and where you are in your career and in your spiritual relationship with Jesus. And we're afraid to be alone with our own thoughts. Our way of numbing from pain or problems is overindulgence in information. We also have time limits. How many of you guys ever say, I got to save time? I got to save some time. Anybody ever say that? Can I tell you a secret? You can't. You get the same 24 hours as everybody else, 1,440 minutes in a day. You can't save any for tomorrow. It starts over. And tomorrow you get 1,440 minutes. Tuesday you get 1,440 minutes. You can't save time. You're never going to have more than 24 hours in a day. Space limitations. You can't be in more than one place at a time to save time. I wish we could, right? So how do we know when we're on overload? You guys ready for this one? No. It's called pain. It's called fatigue, stress, loss of joy, irritability. That's how you know that you're on overload. When you're irritable, you're on overload. When you're exceeded a limit, physically, mentally, emotionally, or some kind of limit in your life, you're on overload. The starting point for building margin is realizing that you need it. Let me say that again. The starting point. That's right. Starting point for building margin is that you need it. And realizing that you need it. Number two, expect to have interruptions. How many of you plan your day? Anybody ever plan their day? And how many of you plan your day and it does, it goes precisely to the letter of the way that you planned it? Right? We could sure try. I think the only way that you could succeed in that is if you just stayed home in bed and didn't plan anything. But there's no plan other than just staying home and laying in bed. Yeah, that's one step. That's one step. That's building margin. Right? You need margin because you have expected, unexpected events happen in your life. Having plans is good, right? It is good. The Bible says that we ought to plan, and plans help lead us in the right direction, but very little ever goes as perfectly as planned. So you're setting yourself up for a big disappointment if you don't create margin, right? John 16:33 says, in the world you will have trouble. If you got your Bible and you look that up, circle will. I don't know if it's on the handout. If it's on the handout, circle the word will. In the world you will have problem or trouble. Not might or could be, you will. I had this happen just recently, a major interruption. Have you ever been driving down the interstate or down a road somewhere and you're just all spinning up here and then you realize like 4 miles down the road that you missed the exit you were supposed to take? Anybody ever, just me? I was supposed to have turned on Central Ave in Great Falls, and I actually turned off at the airport when I realized I missed it. Because I was just, poof, right? It's like, there's an interruption. It's like, holy cow. Or how many of this? You've got to be at an appointment to say Great Falls. You got to be at an appointment, and the appointment is at 2 o'clock, and you leave at 1:40 or 1:15, and you're racing to get to that appointment, expecting them to be no traffic problems, that all the lights are going to miraculously turn green as you drive down 10th Avenue or wherever it is you're at, right? Anybody ever do that? Right? There's a massive interruption in that aspect, right? We probably should allow margin. I learned this, that when you use your Maps program, your Maps app, Do you know that it automatically creates margin when you, your distance in driving? If it says it will take you such and such a time to get there, and this is the quickest route, it automatically builds in margin. At least that's what they tell me. I've never tested it. Maybe you should test it and see. Let's fact check that, shall we? So it calculates based on speed and traffic. How many of you think that you can do better than that? I can't, right? There may be traffic. You may have a flat tire. You may run out of gas, forgot something, have to turn around and go back to your house to get it. And then you get to your house and you go, oh man, I gotta go potty. And you go potty, and then you walk out the door, get in the car and drive off again. Then you go, oh snap, I forgot what I went to back to the house to get. That's me sometimes. We gotta create margin. The fact that you're always late may mean that there's no margin in your life. Next Bible head challenge. You ready? Ready? Here we go. I've got one Twizzler and one Three Musketeers, and then I have another Twizzler and another candy bar. Here it is. If you won already, you can't win. First boy, first girl. Proverbs 22:3. I'm scanning. Proverbs 22:3. Boom, I got a girl back there. We got a boy. Boom, I got a boy right there. Woo! Oh, so close. Which one would you like? I'm going to get your choice. There you go. Right on. Coming in hot. You ready? Oh, nice try. Nice try. Parents, I love sugaring up your kids to send them home. Because you guys do that to us, so it's fair game. So Proverbs 22:3. The prudent person perceives difficulties ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I love how that says that. The prudent person perceives difficulties ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. I don't know if I've ever been called a simpleton before, but probably. If I want to build margin in my life, I have got to put space in my schedule. Put space in your schedule. Circle put on your handout. Circle it. Put space. You have to do this if you want to create margin. First thing you got to do is you've got to take action and put space in there. Right? You're going to have to decide to build some buffer zones in your life, some downtime. Only you can decide that. But here's what I want to encourage you. You decide it before your body does. Because your body will eventually create margin. And at that point, I'm afraid it's probably too late. Leave some empty space. As scary as that is for some of you to come across that, that's actually some white space there that you need to create. Schedule family time. Schedule a date with your spouse. Schedule reading time. Schedule personal fun times. Schedule it. If you look on my calendar, from 8:30 to 10 every morning, I have to put it on my calendar, quiet time. I have to do it. Because as soon as I don't have it on there and I get to my office and I look at my calendar, what do I got to do today? Oh, first thing's quiet time. Boom, I shut it off and I do my quiet time. I have to schedule it. We have to. You have to sometimes schedule because how many have kids? How many parents you have kids out there, right? Can I just tell you that if you don't schedule family time, all their activities are going to run you ragged. I don't ever remember being as busy as a kid as my kids are. You know, you could ask my mom, she'd probably tell you a different story, but what I remember my childhood and what she remembers are totally different. Totally. But sometimes it's okay to say no to things, right? To create margin, schedule it. Reminds me of this story of a guy who comes home and his little kindergarten daughter asks him why he's working so hard and why he always has to bring home work. And he looks at her and said, I just don't finish it at work, so I need to bring it home and get it done. And the daughter looks up at him and says, Daddy, I think they should put you in a slower group. The fact of life is the faster that you go, the more margin that you need. There is one of my mentors and dear friend, Pastor Kevin Gear, at Canvas Church in Kalispell, church of 6,000 plus, and I don't know how many campuses they have, 5 campuses, and he oversees pretty much all of them. They've got campus pastors and stuff. But the dude is on full tilt all the time. But the one thing that he has mastered is his calendar. He schedules time for his family. He schedules time for him personally. He manages his, he is created on purpose. Am I right, Joe? He creates margin. This guy goes all over the United States preaching at leadership conferences and all this stuff, as well as he's got, like, he's a foster parent and they've got 3 or 4 foster kids and he's got his own kids and he's got all these people that he's responsible for as a pastor, and he's got a video blog, and he's got all of these things. I mean, it's like, holy cow. I get tired just talking about it. And I'm like, Kevin, how do you do this? And he's like, I create margin. I control my calendar. I control my schedule, because if I don't control it, it controls me. The faster your life goes, the more margin you need. But if you put margin in your life, you can run faster. You can. I don't encourage it, but you can. But I think it is more like our lives are a series. You know, it's this, oh, this thought. I almost missed this thought. How many have ever heard the expression, life is like a marathon, not a sprint? Have you ever heard that? I don't know if I agree with that. Here's why. I think our life is more like a series of sprints with rests in between. At least that's how it's supposed to be. Rests in between. I don't think it's a marathon. I don't think that we go, 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 go for long, long periods of time and then rest. I think it is this sprint in this season, rest. This sprint, rest. This sprint, rest. Does that make sense? I could be wrong, but as I look at my own life, that's what it feels like. It's not a marathon. Sometimes it kind of feels like it, but I think it feels like it because we're not taking time and building margin. I think that we have to be better at planning rest. If you want margin in your life, 4, you need to prune our activities periodically. Okay, New Life kids. I got a question for you. Let's see how good you are. You ready? Why do gardeners prune trees and plants? What's New Life Kid? Why do they do that? Any idea? Say it out loud. Prune them. Why do they prune them? You know what the word prune means? It's not that little nasty thing that you eat and okay, to cut away the dead stuff, right? Yes, Dale. So more can grow. That's right. Gabby. Doesn't get too big, okay? All great answers. If you don't prune, you can correct me if I'm wrong, all my green thumb people, if no pruning means that no fruitfulness in the next season. Is that right? Okay. Is it just pruning dead things, though? Sometimes we have to prune things that are alive for the health of the plant or the tree or whatever, right? Every year of our lives, we sprout new activities of branches. Would you agree with that statement? There's something new, right? You're going to do some things now that you didn't go do a year ago. So the question that we have to ask ourselves then is, what have I got to cut out or prune back to be able to stay healthy when the new things come? Does that make sense? You can't just keep adding and adding and adding to your schedule without pruning something, without cutting something out. And it might be a good thing. It might be a thing that's good. It's not dead. It's not bad. It's not a bad habit. It's good. But in order to keep adding, maybe something needs to be cut. Does that make sense? If you're picking up what I'm throwing down, say uh-huh. Here's the secret. At least I've been told it's a secret. When you prune, you don't just cut off the dead stuff. You cut off living branches that are still productive and still fruitful. And I say that to say this, is pruning sometimes can be painful. Right? And we can go a lot of different places on that one, but that's where we need to get to be able to create margin. Okay, the last Bible head challenge. Ready? Last one, last boy, last girl. And I have to say, Pastor Callie, I think you should be proud. These kids are rocking this. Not a whole lot of adult help. They're killing it. They're getting her done. Here it is. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. First boy, first girl. Man, we got one back there. That's first boy and first girl. Which one? Snickers. Snickers. Because they satisfy. All right, coming in hot. I'm trying not to hit Aaron in the head. Ooh, there we go. Nice catch. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. That could be a sermon all by itself. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. 50 things to do in one day, and you're only going to get 20 of them done. That means you'll have to say no 30 times or say no to your kids' activities. You only have 1,440 minutes in a day. Statistics tell us that you have 480 of those minutes are sleeping. 480 of those are working, so that leaves you 480 minutes to do everything else. In your life, you'll have to learn to say no far more than you'll have to learn to say yes. It's easy to say no to things that you dislike or unpleasant, aren't they? It's like, no, I don't want to go rake dog Dookie. That's unpleasant. It's easy for me to say no. It's easy to say no to things that are unpleasant, like helping somebody move. Because that's the worst thing ever. Moving is dumb. I tried to say no. But I'm so excited I said yes. It's easy to say no to things that you dislike. Here's another one. I can say no to a root canal really fast. Right? No, I saw those pictures, Heidi, of the dentist, and they did not look happy. It's like, oh. Dentists have got to be the worst, not the worst, the most disliked of all medical field, I think. Is there worse? Well, maybe a proctologist, I don't know. It's a tie, I don't know. But the real problem is saying no to things that you like and saying no to fun, good, beneficial, and helpful things. Nobody likes to say no to those things, right? But here's the thing, you cannot even do all the good things in life that you want to sometimes. You can't do everything. So you have to determine the right thing. The fifth and last step in creating margin in your life is do less and trust God more. God can do more in 20 minutes than you can do in 20 years. Let's be real. Now, here's the funny thing. Sometimes we try and help God too much. Right? God, let me just help you with this because I really like, let me just, because I know better than you how to handle this in my life. Right? No, just me? Okay. Sometimes we try to help God too much when we need to relax and trust God and watch what he can do. He can do it all a whole lot faster and a whole lot better than you and I can do it. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. God's got you. The problem is, I think, we don't trust him enough with us and our stuff. It's a lack of trust. God is faithful. The only benefit of being stretched and being on overload is that it forces us to trust God. It brings you to your knees eventually, and you will realize that you're up against the wall and out of steam and you're out of energy. One time the Apostle Paul hit burnout. Do you guys know this? He was in Asia working, serving, and doing good things for God, and he said he was ready to kick the bucket and throw in the towel. He tells it about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. Listen to this. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our abilities to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. We need to practice margin. You guys ready? We're going to practice for a second. We're almost done. Everybody, take everything out of your hands. Don't hold your spouse's hand or just sit. Close your eyes. Close them. I'm watching you. Close them. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Let it out slowly. Do it again. Hold it. Let it out slowly. Keep doing it. And as you're doing it, reflect on the goodness of the Lord. Reflect on how faithful he is to you personally. Keep doing it. We're going to do it for 60 seconds. And stop. How do you feel? Tired? I want to sleep now. Maybe that's your body's way of saying you need to create margin. We just paused and created 1 minute of margin. 1 minute. So let me wrap this up this morning. As the worship team comes, let me wrap up with a little review. Things that we've learned today, that we need to accept our human limitations. We need to expect to have interruptions. We need to put some space in our schedule for margin. We need to prune our activities, and we need to do less and trust God more. But can I just tell you this? That cultivating margin is not a one and done deal, right? You can't just do it once and it's there forever. It's not one and done. You have to, on purpose, cultivate creating margin in your life. It takes practice to become a habit. And then we often slip out of it and have to make another effort because we've slipped out of that habit, or it wasn't quite a habit and we got sucked into something else. It takes practice. We have to do the practice. Repetition and reminders are in order. Right? We have to repeat. We have to create repetition. Repetition, repetition. To create a habit. Let me just pray for us this morning. Can I do that? I need to pray for us. Here we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the time that we have spent together learning more about you and worshiping your name, listening to your voice. And as we leave this place here in a few moments, Lord God, I just pray that we may be committed to worshiping you, living a life of worship and serving you in our daily lives. Lord, help us to pause in our day. Help us to create on purpose space and margin.